safe here. Season 1, The Outcast, Episode 7, The End. If you're new to this podcast, welcome. Please start at Episode 1. After the bone-shattering screech, the screech that sounded more like an animal than a human, came the chaos. Betty felt Mr. J loosen his grip. She wriggled from underneath him and scrambled to the doorway. He was staring out the window, like a deer in headlights, and barely noticed. Her cheek was bleeding from being pressed into the floor. The girls were screaming. Some started running down the stairs. Another sky-piercing screech, followed by a deep boom, shook the cabin. Betty searched the room for Katrina and found her immediately. She stood still among the commotion, staring at the pictures on the wall. She had stopped in front of Zelda's, who smiled back at her, with her black hair and the clotted blue background of a school photo. Katrina was right. Betty did look like her. Betty watched Katrina scan the row of all the other missing girls, ending on Betty, the bullseye inside the red circle. Katrina, panicked, scanned the room for the real Betty and found her in the doorway, moonlight streaming in from the window around her. Just like the last dream, the sky darkened for only a moment, too sudden to be a cloud or a tree moving in the wind. Someone or something had obscured the moon. Betty's back to the window. She watched Katrina's eyes widen in horror. She grabbed Betty's hand and pulled her out of the room. "What is it?" Betty yelled over the sounds of screams as they practically tumbled down the stairs. "We have to get out of here," was Katrina's answer. They got to the living room and ran the short distance to the front door when the cabin shook as if the earth was ripping apart below it. The wood moaned so loudly, Betty covered her ears. The moaning gave way to popping as long cracks slithered up the back wall of the cabin like a snake. Then it exploded open. In the space left behind, Betty saw a giant leg from the ankle to the thigh. It bulged, muscular and lumbering. It seemed covered in furled fern fronds. She strained to look up through the crack towards the ceiling, but she felt herself pulled through the doorway into the night. "Run!" Katrina screamed, still holding tight to her hand. They took off into the woods, directionless. Leaves flew past so fast they blurred into green. The smaller branches stung their faces. A boom reverberated behind them. "We have to find cover," Betty yelled, or whispered. She couldn't tell. They saw it at the same time, a large boulder covered in green moss, nestled in between two trees. It was like a mountain emerged from the ground and then gave up. "We can hide behind it," Betty screamed. They veered towards the rock and ran even faster. The boom sounded again. Betty couldn't tell where it was coming from or if it was getting closer. They flung themselves behind the rock, pressing their backs into it as they panted. Betty's chest felt like it would explode. "Did you see that?" she said to Katrina. Katrina just looked at her, breathing rapidly. Her eyes didn't focus. Betty cupped her hands around Katrina's cheeks. "Katrina, stay with me," she said. Katrina nodded, head still in Betty's hands. "We're safe right now," Betty continued, "but we have to move." "It's a fucking giant," Katrina whispered. She sounded like she was hyperventilating, her eyes still unfocused. Betty looked to the sky, the black eroded by the light of the moon. The trees above, leaning with the breeze, looked like giants in shadows. A jolt of something flowed through Betty. It wasn't anger, her familiar feeling. It was something else. She looked back at Katrina, her face still cupped in her hands. Without thinking, she leaned in and kissed her. She felt Katrina's panic melt a little. She kissed her back. Betty sat back, her entire head and torso blushing. Katrina's eyes were focused on her now. She smiled. They sat in silence for a moment. "You slut," she said. They laughed only for a moment, then remembered where they were. "Who's over there?" Katrina asked, pointing behind them. Betty turned and saw a group of girls behind a tree. She could only make out Kat and Kim. It was too dark to see the rest. They were clustered together, shivering in between two giant tree roots. "Kat," Betty stage whispered. They couldn't hear. They all peered between the trunk of the tree where it split in two and curved away from the other into the sky. They peered towards the cabin and whatever was stalking it. Betty picked up a small rock and threw it in their direction. Kim heard it and turned her head. Betty waved her hands frantically. Katrina motioned for them to come. "No," Kim mouthed. Katrina waved her arms angrily. Kat, Delia, Tracy, and three other girls ran, crouching, towards them. They collapsed into Betty and Katrina's arms. They all shivered. "Kim, come on," Katrina whispered angrily. Kim hesitated, then jolted the short distance to the rest of them. The sound of their whimpers pattered like rain. "What is happening?" Kim said. A screech ripped through the air as though answering her. They covered their ears. "We can't stay here," Betty said. "Where do we go?" Tracy asked. "We can't outrun it." Delia covered her mouth after she said it. Katrina interlaced her fingers with Betty's. They all peered around the sides of the boulder. The cabin sat about 100 feet away. They could just see the planks of wood from the back wall laying on the ground behind it. The trees loomed, motionless in a moment of stillness, the shadows between them inscrutable. Suddenly, movement swirled the shadows at the tops of the trees. They couldn't quite make it out. Betty stared hard at the space, wanting to look away. For a beat, it was black and still. Betty didn't breathe. Then, like the moon, two deep-set white eyes and a screaming mouth moved out of the treetops. They appeared for a moment, then disappeared into the shadows. The trees moved unnaturally as a low growl sputtered there. A loud boom rippled through the earth. It ripped a tree from its roots. It seemed to fall in slow motion, a graceful swoop toward the ground before it crashed in front of the cabin, just missing it. Kat screamed. Kim put her hand over Kat's mouth and shook her head rapidly, eyes wide. At that moment, they saw Amanda. She ran alongside the trunk of the fallen tree like a mouse against a wall. Betty realized with horror she must have been hiding nearby. Before anyone knew what was happening, her body was swept into the sky. Giant, gnarled fingers like tree roots trapped, then lifted her. They heard Amanda scream for only a moment, then the sounds of cracking and ripping. Something fell from the sky and landed on the ground with a dull thud. When Betty realized it was Amanda's arm, she fled. She pulled Katrina with her. The girls followed. They ran, directionless, but faster than they had ever run. They heard the troll. The running sound was like a chasm opening behind them, licking their heels. They didn't look back. The legs of the troll, like oak tree trunks, pounded past Betty to the left. The impact threw her to the ground. Before she knew what was happening, she rolled to a tree and crouched behind it for a moment, gathering her bearings. The troll was up ahead. She saw just its tail before it completely submerged back into darkness. Where was Katrina? Where was everyone else? Betty clung to the tree, contracting her body as small as she could make it. Shivering, she peered out slowly from the tree trunk and looked around. It was dark. Quiet. At any other time, it would seem like she was alone in the woods for a peaceful night stroll. Even the breeze held its breath. She heard a rustling to her right. Two thin trees stood at attention, blackness in between. Then Betty noticed black boots peeking from the shadows. "Katrina?" Betty whispered. No answer. The boots were still. Betty hesitated. "Katrina?" she whispered again. Then Kim peered out between the trees. "Is that you, Betty?" she said softly, her voice shaking. Betty ran towards her. They crouched down together. "What do we do?" Kim's face was completely wet. Betty had no idea. "I don't think it can see very well," she guessed. "It ran right past us. If we stay behind the trees, I think we could make it." Kim nodded, looking around the tree. "We have to find the others first," Betty said. The troll's shriek filled the sky, and both Betty and Kim screamed. Katrina came up from behind and grabbed Betty's arm. "This way," she said as she pulled to the right. They ran towards a small clearing in the distance, the crest of a small hill. "Where is everyone?" Betty panted as they ran. "Up ahead," Katrina said, eyes forward. They heard the rumble of a growl, and the treetops to their left opened like a book. They veered to the right and flung themselves behind another tree. Betty saw Delia ahead in the distance, frozen in fear. "Delia," Betty said to herself, willing her to move. "Oh, fuck," Katrina said. The trees behind her opened, and the trunks of the troll's leg boomed behind Delia. Her scream was cut short as a large thwack of the troll's tangled, woody hand flung her into the air. It was so fast it was like she disappeared. but they heard her, a sickening smack against a tree, and the thud of her lifeless body hitting the ground. They all screamed, Kim into her own hands. The troll heard them. It lifted its nose into the air and took a deep breath. Betty stared, eyes wide. It turned its head towards them and pounded forward. They ran, so scared their adrenaline propelled them to almost fly. Kim's foot twisted and she fell. No, she screamed. Betty turned back and saw Kim sprawled on the ground, the troll fast approaching behind her. She ran to her without thinking. Kim scrambled to her feet just as Betty grabbed her hand and they jumped to the left as the troll tumbled past them. It turned its head toward them and fell, roaring with rage. Katrina caught up with them and they ran blindly into a thick patch of trees. That's when they felt the hands. Betty was on the ground, her fingers dug into the earth, holding on for dear life. The soil felt like moist cake, but the smell is what hit her, like a punch in the nose. Wet weeds, manure and mold, it was thick. She gagged. Katrina lay to her right. Betty reached over to grab her hand, their pinkies locked. Katrina turned her head towards her, her cheek pressed into the dirt. They sat up at the same time, slowly. What the fuck is that? Katrina moaned, her hand over her nose and mouth. Before Betty could answer, two shoes, shiny and glistening in the moonlight, stood before them. Quiet, Mr. Wilbertson's voice said. Katrina and Betty jumped up. That's when they saw Kat, Kim, and Tracy clutching each other. They stared like deer in headlights. Katrina and Betty ran to them. They stood in a circle of dirt, a clearing completely open to the sky. It was surrounded by a dense circle of trees. They were cut off from the troll who was just outside, stomping and shrieking. Mr. Wilbertson stood by Nurse Francine, Mr. J, and Miss Albert. Ah, Betty, you're here, Mr. Wilbertson said, as if she had just met him for lunch. Let's get this over with, Mr. J snarled. Betty coughed, gagging with the smell. The smell is what's protecting us. Don't you know trolls can smell humans quite well? Mr. Wilbertson said to Betty. Katrina stepped in front of her. What the fuck is going on? She yelled at them. Betty, please step forward for the assessment, Nurse Francine said. Betty looked around, frantic. She saw Valerie sitting alone, knees to her chest. She saw the others from the cabin, clutching each other, just as she, Katrina, Kim, Kat, and Tracy were. The rest was open space, until the wall of trees. Mr. J lunged forward, pushing Katrina aside. He grabbed Betty's arm and pulled her forward. She screamed. He put his hand over her mouth. There's no need for hysterics, Betty, Mr. Wilbertson said. This is simply protocol. He looked disapprovingly at Mr. J, albeit with a lot more fanfare this time around. Mr. J looked down, ashamed. Betty took the moment to bite his finger, hard. He yelped as she broke free from his grasp. Bitch, he screamed at her. She ran towards the trees at the back of the circle. There's no way out, Betty, Mr. Wilbertson said calmly. He didn't even chase her. You have nowhere to go. When she reached the edge of the clearing, she hesitated. He continued, The troll will get you out there. At least with us, it will be painless. Betty stared at the crisscrossing branches, at the pine needle wall. The stench coated the back of her throat. Suddenly, ice fingers grabbed her upper arm. It was Nurse Francine. Hey, she shouted as she tried to shake her off. Nurse Francine was strong. She dragged a helpless Betty back to Mr. Wilbertson. He stood in the center of the clearing next to Mr. J and Miss Albert, while all the girls shivered at the edges, in shock. Except Katrina. She jumped onto Nurse Francine's back, clawing at her face. Almost immediately, Nurse Francine flung Katrina to the ground with the efficiency of a military officer. Mr. J turned to Mr. Wilbertson. Can I throw Katrina out there, please? Just give me the word. Quiet, Mr. Wilbertson responded without looking at him. Mr. J glared at Katrina, who gasped for breath at Nurse Francine's feet. Betty and Katrina locked pleading eyes. Betty shook her head at her. A tear rolled down Katrina's cheek into the dirt. Betty Sumner, black hair, brown eyes, aged 16, Nurse Francine started. Mr. Wilbertson placed his hands on Betty's head. Mr. J and Miss Albert looked down in reverence. 5'5", 130 pounds. You gave me all those sick days, Betty said. Nurse Francine looked up from her note. You made it easy for us. Practically handed us your biometrics. Betty looked at Katrina still on the ground, somewhere between seething and grieving. At Kat, Tracy, and Kim staring at her, still in shock. We thank the Great Lakes Forest, Miss Albert began, eyes closed. Mr. Robertson's hands lay heavy on Betty's head. For the land you have given us. The land that has nourished us and the young women whom we serve. Slowly she lifted her gaze and met Betty's eyes, which were watery and wide. And now it is our turn to nourish you, as we have done since the great Silas Wilbertson came into the great power and responsibility of the cloister's headmaster. Utstadt, Mr. J said. Utstadt, Miss Albert repeated. Utstadt, the final utterance from Mr. Wilbertson. The troll shrieked from just behind them, on the other side of the trees. Betty retched. Mr. J pulled her towards the edge of the circle, towards the sound of the troll. Why are you doing this? Her voice shook. She tried in vain to get away. With all your sleuthing, you couldn't figure it out? I'm disappointed in you, Betty, he spat at her. Utstadt, the outcast? Betty paused, hoping to stall him. What does that have to do with us? With the students? She could see Katrina from the corner of her eye, sneaking around the perimeter of the clearing. They need a sacrifice. It's the only way to tame the monster. The Utstadt were rejects from society, from the Scandinavians who settled here. Mr. J fell into his teacher rhythms. They were banished to the forest, where they became... He paused. What they became. When the school bought this land, they didn't realize the price. Not until Mr. Robertson came and brought me with him. I'd done my dissertation on Scandinavian folklore. It didn't take us long to figure out how to stay here, peacefully. If you kill a girl every year? Betty screamed at him. It's a small price, really, for the greater good that we do. But, Betty looked around at her fellow students, as agog as she was. Everyone knows. You won't get away with it this time. Mr. Robertson grunted from behind her. She turned to face him, and Mr. J tightened his grip. You young girls, he gestured broadly, aren't reliable witnesses. You don't even cause much of a fuss when you disappear. Betty felt her limbs go weak. Her legs felt like jelly. Let's stay on task, please, Mr. Jensen, Miss Albert said. She placed a hand on Betty's back and pressed her forward. Take a sip of this. Nurse Francine handed Betty a small glass of brown liquid. Betty, shaking, brought it to her lips. For a moment it obscured the stench around her. She downed it in one go. It burned her throat. The heat built in her limbs. Mr. J dragged her closer to the edge of their protective clearing, made invisible by the smell and the trees. Mr. Wilbertson, Miss Albert, and Nurse Francine created a wall behind her. Betty felt like she was floating. The booms of the troll sounded just beyond the border of the trees. She reached out and brushed the pine needles with her fingertips. At that moment, Katrina burst through the tree limbs with a large stick. She swung it at Mr. J and hit him directly in the face with it. They heard the crunch of something breaking. He screamed and fell backwards. Katrina grabbed Betty's hand and they ran to the right along the circle of trees towards the others. Stop! Betty heard Mr. Robertson cry. She did not look behind her. It was as if Katrina had broken a spell. Every girl took off running in the same direction. Betty did not know where they would go, but they had to get out of the clearing. She felt a tug from Katrina's hand and they knew they were ready to veer away at any moment. They were close to the edge, and that's when she fell to the ground, when Mr. J tackled her and she fell, once again, into the soft dirt. He turned her over so she faced him, his knees pressing painfully into the tops of her thighs. His nose was crooked and blood smeared across his face like a mustache. The moon floated just to the left of his head. He lifted his fist into the air and brought it down, hard. She felt nothing for a moment before the rush of pain. Her cheekbone felt like it was expanding in her face as it throbbed. Tears streamed from her eyes, stinging the cuts on her face. Do you think you're special? Mr. J screamed at her, his spit sprayed across her face. You think you can break the tradition because of your little dream? Katrina ran into him then, pushing with open hands against his chest. He fell backwards. Betty scrambled up. Get him, Kim yelled. The girls hesitated, and in that crucial moment, Mr. J grabbed Katrina's legs and she tumbled to the ground. He pulled her hands behind her back and dragged her up. He held her in front of him like a shield. "Back off," he screamed. "Back off or I'm throwing her out there." The gurgle of a low roar sounded just beyond the trees behind him. It was like the troll was waiting. Betty saw Mr. Robertson, Miss Albert, and Nurse Francine walk quickly towards the opposite side of the clearing. Miss Albert whispered something in Mr. Robertson's ear and rubbed his back. They looked over their shoulders towards the girls surrounding Mr. J. Then they slipped between the trees and disappeared. Mr. J noticed too. "Coward!" he screamed. He turned to the crowd of girls who snarled at him. "It's not me, it's him you should be after." He took another step backwards. "First things first," Tracy said. She was in the center of the semicircle of girls. They advanced. Mr. J's eyes moved back and forth in panic. He held Katrina tighter, twisted her arms. She groaned in pain and Betty winced with her. "We only needed one sacrifice. Just one, that very first year. That allowed us to stay." He took another step backwards until the pine needles brushed his ears. Kim cracked her knuckles. "And no one noticed. It was like the girl had never existed. The next year, when a girl rejected his advances. You know Mr. Wilbertson's lecherous, don't you?" He looked pleadingly at Betty. "You found that much out, didn't you, Betty?" Betty listened, open-mouthed, as what he was saying started to sink in. "He fed her to the troll's revenge. And again, nothing. So it became tradition. His tradition. I tried to stop him. He says, the fewer of you, the better. He's the monster." Katrina flung her head back and hit Mr. J's already battered nose. He let go of her and screamed. And it was then that Valerie lunged forward from the crowd as fast as a fox. She pushed him as hard as she could. He fell backwards, flat on his back. Only his feet were visible through the thick border of the trees. They all heard the sound of the troll pounding towards them. They instinctively moved back, deeper into the stench. Mr. J's legs slipped through the branches, and his screams, along with the echoes of crunching and cracking, filled the air. The girls looked at each other, alone in the safety of the clearing, barely breathing. Betty and Katrina embraced, shaking into each other. "What the fuck do we do now?" Kim said. The girls stood dumbfounded, listening. It was silent, except for a breeze. "Let's stay here until morning," someone said. "Don't trolls turn into stone in the sun?" "That's vampires," Tracy said. "I can't stay here another minute. The stink is sinking into my skin," Kim said. Betty stepped forward and everyone quieted. "Mr. Robertson got away," she said. "We have to find him." "Me first," Katrina practically growled. "Katrina, Kat, Tracy, Kim, Valerie, and I will chase him down. He can't have gotten far. The rest of you head back to the cabin. Collect all the papers and the pictures. Then burn it down." The girls hesitated. "What about the troll?" Savannah asked. "It can't see very well," Betty said. "Rub this manure mud on yourself to hide your smell. Then run as fast as you can. Hide behind a tree if you see it." The girls looked at each other fearfully. "Go!" Betty shouted, and they jumped as if she had slapped them. Everyone crouched and rubbed the mud all over themselves. Kim gagged. Katrina poured the dirt on top of her curls and cackled. "Savannah, you're in charge. When we see the smoke, we'll come find you," Betty said. Then Betty's group took off in the direction Mr. Robertson had escaped, the rest where Mr. J had fallen. Betty hesitated at the clearing's edge. "Run as fast as you can. Don't stop till you see them, unless you're hiding." As if on cue, they heard a shriek in the distance. "It sounds far enough away," Kat said, "but it travels fast. We should go now." They looked at each other for a beat, then burst through the trees. It was much darker out of the clearing under the cover of full branches. They ran hard, scanning the trees for three figures. They ran evenly with each other, except Tracy, who fell slightly behind. Betty looked over her shoulder every couple of breaths. It was cold, but they were sweating. Betty's cheeks were almost numb except for the blossom of her growing bruise. The mud started to fall away. She saw streaks on Kat, but they kept running, especially when they heard the booming of footsteps and the rustling of treetops. "Keep going," Betty hissed. She heard Tracy start to panic behind her. She and Katrina grabbed each hand and pulled her. "Just run," Betty said in her ear. But running was not enough, because at that moment the troll burst through the trees behind them. Betty looked behind her and saw only a moss-covered kneecap, like a mountain, barreling towards her. She dove to her left, pulling Katrina and Tracy with her. They hovered behind a large and gnarled tree. She peeked around the side and saw a shoulder blade covered in a cluster of roots like a cage. The shadows and tree branches swallowed the troll, but the ground reverberated with its angry footsteps. Betty bolted to the tree where Kat, Valerie, and Kim were hiding, crossing the troll's path. "This way," she whispered to them, as she took off in a curve around their original route. And she saw them, Mr. Robertson and Miss Albert. Nurse Francine was not there. They seemed to be waiting for them. They stood in the distance, facing Betty's direction. When she saw them, they turned. "There!" Betty cried, pointing, and the troll exploded through the trees in front of them. They screamed and scattered. Betty fell to the ground and rolled away. She could only see the murk of dust. She felt the breeze of the troll pass her by. Its shriek made her eardrums throb. She saw Katrina's ankle disappear behind a tree. Then she heard Valerie scream. She was right next to her on her back. The troll hovered above them. Time stopped for an excruciating moment. It leaned its face closer. Betty saw the glowing white of its eyes nestled in the knotted green gnarls of its head. "Roll!" Betty screamed. She and Valerie tumbled furiously to the right as its tree root of a hand pummeled the earth right next to them. They made it to a tree and pressed their backs into it, panting. After a couple of seconds, Betty rubbed more mud onto herself. Valerie did the same. A screech filled the air. The troll was angry. "What do we do?" Valerie whispered. Before she could answer, the troll ripped a tree from its roots right next to them, and they screamed. "Run!" Betty cried. They took off towards Mr. Robertson, who Betty could still see in the distance. It was like he was watching them. She could see Katrina and the others in her periphery. The troll pounded behind them. They zigzagged forward as the troll fingers swiped at the air around them. Miss Albert and Mr. Wilbertson, in shadow, grew larger as they got closer. "Why aren't they running? From us or the troll?" Betty thought. And that's when the earth opened below her. The forest and the shadows disappeared from Betty's view, and it was only blackness. Betty was falling. She saw blurs of limbs around her. She couldn't tell if they were her own. She hit the bottom. It knocked the air out of her. A body fell on her arm and rammed her elbow. She screamed in pain, then struggled for breath. Four more thuds sounded around her. Then came the moans. Betty sat up, clutching her arm. Her elbow was definitely dislocated. "Who's there?" came a voice from the dark. Betty strained to focus. They were at the bottom of a large hole. There was dirt all around her. Old wood panels covered in moss held up three of the walls. Moonlight shone on the ground and a patchwork stretched across the dirt in Tracy's leg. It moved to her lap when she sat up. And just behind her in the corner was Miss De Silva. She pressed against it, eyes wide. "Miss De Silva?" Betty cried. She blinked hard. "Betty?" she croaked back. "Oh my God." Betty hobbled over and threw her arms around her. Miss De Silva was in shock. She shivered in Betty's arms. "How?" she said and couldn't finish. "I twisted my ankle," Kim cried suddenly. She was peeling off her sock in the opposite corner of the hole. "Is everyone okay?" Tracy asked, still sitting where she had fallen. "No!" Katrina shouted, crouching near Tracy. "I think I'm okay," Kat muttered. "I'm fine," Valerie said. They sat with their legs out, leaning against one of the walls. Katrina crawled to Betty and put her hand gently on her arm. "Are you okay?" she asked her. "I think I jammed my elbow, but I'm fine," she said. Then she turned back to Miss De Silva. "How long have you been down here?" Miss De Silva rubbed her eyes. "I can't believe you're here," she said. She swallowed. "I've been here since last night. I wasn't hurt from the fall. I slept under the dirt to stay warm. I got some water from the condensation." "Holy shit," Tracy said. "How did you get down here?" Miss De Silva pressed her back into the corner. "The same way you did, I bet." She paused. "Mr. Robertson." "What are you talking about?" Valerie asked. "You didn't see him," Betty said. "He basically led us here. I bet he hoped the troll fell down here too. Then we'd all be taken care of." She could hear it stomping in the distance. How far down are we? Kat asked. At least 15 feet, Mr. Silver said. What happened? Betty asked, knowing the answer. Mr. Robertson called me to his office. I don't know how he knew, but I had figured something out. It was early evening, but I went anyway. I remembered you telling me you didn't trust him, but I guess... She trailed off and sighed. Miss Albert and a man I didn't know were waiting for me there. I thought they were going to kill me, but they dragged me out here and threw me in this hole. Motherfucker, Katrina whispered. I'm sorry, Betty said. This is all my fault. I shouldn't have asked for your help. Miss De Silva put her hand on Betty's shoulder. Honey, she said, this is no one's fault but his. I'm glad you're having your moment, but can we please find a way out of here? Kim asked. Her ankle swelled. Betty ignored her. What did you figure out? Where the troll came from, Miss De Silva replied. The six of them stared at her, mouths open. She continued. I couldn't get your question out of my head, she said. What does Scandinavian immigration have to do with Zelda and the other missing girls? I remembered this interview I had done when I was researching the twins who wrote Gothic horror stories in the 20s. I met with the grandson of one of their cousins. They were Norwegian immigrants, one of the last waves. He told me that his grandfather always said that they were banished, that the community didn't approve of what they were writing. I didn't make much of it because there wasn't much evidence. Their trail went cold. But then I looked into it. Utstadt? Betty asked. Miss De Silva's eyes widened and she nodded. Yes, Utstadt. They were all women. The new immigrants wanted to fit into their new society. Women who threatened that, or whose friends and relatives claim they did, were banished to this forest. Legend has it, they turned into monsters. Betty thought for a moment. So trolls are just outcasts, she said. I thought it was a legend, Miss De Silva said. Then last night, I heard it. It killed Delia, Tracy whispered, a tear rolling down her cheek. It killed Zelda, Kim said, and Amanda. It killed all of them. It tried to kill us. On the plus side, it killed Mr. J, Katrina said. Oh my God, Katrina, Kat said, but she was stifling the beginnings of a giggle. That set everyone off. They laughed deliriously, exhaustedly, at the bottom of the hole. The laugh hurt Betty's elbow, her cheek. She leaned into Katrina, who put her hand on top of her head. Valerie did it, Kim said. Valerie smiled towards the ground. I'm so sorry, Miss De Silva said, meaning it. I'm glad you're all okay. I mean, relatively, she said, gesturing upwards. Everyone stopped smiling. The trolls were outcasts in Norway, too. It's like they brought their tradition with them, Miss De Silva continued. Except, she closed her eyes and took a shaky breath. She was exhausted. Her voice sounded like sandpaper. What? Betty asked. Except they can be turned back. Excuse me? Kim said. I've read that in some cases, if they're reminded that they were human, that they used to be women, they can change back. Huh, Betty said. She sat up from Katrina's shoulder. She had an idea. Maybe that's how we get our revenge on Mr. Wilbertson. I would prefer killing him, Katrina said. I know, but... Betty started. Then we're just as bad as him. I know it sounds corny. Yeah, Katrina nodded. Yeah, it does. But seriously, Betty sat up straighter, groaning with the sudden pain. He either wants to make us perfect little women or kill us. If we get rid of his executioner, if we expose him, then we've really won. They sat silently for a moment. The patch of moonlight had moved from the ground to one of the walls of the hole. Betty's right, Miss De Silva said. Break his rules. But how would we remind it that it's human? How would we even get close to it? Valerie asked. Give it homework? Kat offered. Betty shook her head. It has to be something more universal, she said. This troll could be from the 1800s. What's something that every woman experiences? Miss De Silva asked. They stared at each other, thinking. Tracy sat up suddenly. She had an idea. Periods, she cried. Katrina snorted. Oh, shit, yes, Kat said. I mean, there's some exceptions, but it doesn't get more universal than periods. So we should just hand the troll a tampon and become its bestie? Katrina asked. Betty thought for a moment. Maybe, she said. Come on, Katrina said. Valerie and I got close to it. We saw its face. Maybe if it smelled it or something. She trailed off. Ew, Kim said. But none of us are having our period right now, Tracy said. It just ended, remember? I am, Betty whispered. Of course, Tracy said. You're not synced up with us yet. This is fucking crazy, Katrina said. There has to be something else. But there was silence. You're forgetting that we have to get out of here first, Kim said. Valerie stood and reached her arms up. It's really not that high, she said. If someone stood on top of my shoulders, they could probably crawl out. Then they could find a rope or something, Tracy said. They all stood up, even Miss De Silva. Groans of pain rippled upwards. How are we going to get on your shoulders? Betty asked. They'd have to stand, Kat said. Who's the tallest here? Miss De Silva looked around. I am, Katrina and Valerie said at the same time. Oh my God, Kim said. You go ahead, Katrina said. You're a better bottom anyway. Valerie rolled her eyes. Kim, you used to do cheerleading, right? Tracy asked. Yeah, she said proudly, but I twisted my ankle. Power through it, Katrina said. You're the only one who won't break your neck. Kim pursed her lips. Fine, she said. Then she turned to Valerie. Crouch down, near this wall. She pointed towards the wall that seemed to have the lowest edge. Valerie put her hand against the dirt and squatted down. Hold my hands, Kim said to no one in particular. Katrina and Tracy took her hands at the end of extended arms, and she stepped onto Valerie's shoulders. She grimaced. Okay, I'm ready. Stand up. She held her fingertips against the dirt. Valerie started to rise and stopped. Help, she groaned. Katrina and Tracy rushed to grab her under the armpits and lifted her. Betty, Kat, and Miss De Silva stood behind her, holding their hands up. When Valerie stood straight, she called out, Okay! Kim waved her hands towards the top of the hole, barely reaching it. Her fingertips just missed it by a couple of inches. You need to lift my feet, Kim said. What does that mean? Katrina yelled upwards. You know, in cheerleading, how they hold the girls' feet with their hands and then lift? Do that. Please don't break my ankle. Fuck, Katrina whispered. Okay, you take her heel and I'll take her toe, Betty said to Kat. Can you get the other side? Tracy and Katrina ran to her left foot. Miss De Silva stayed in the back, holding her hands up. Valerie held steady. You have to do it at the same time, Kim said. I'll count. Betty, Kat, Katrina, and Tracy looked at each other and nodded once. One, Kim started. Sweet Jesus. Two. Three. With a shove, they lifted her feet and straightened their arms. She screamed in pain, but did not fall. She wobbled as she grasped the ground with her fingers. Almost, she yelled. Betty could see her arms shaking with effort. Her fingers started to slip. Let's give her a boost, Betty yelled. Valerie, now free of Kim, and Miss De Silva grabbed each of Kim's calves. Okay, Tracy yelled. On the count of three, bend and push up as hard as you can. Try to throw me in the air, Kim said through gasps of breath. Her right arm had some traction. Her elbow pointed towards the sky as she tried to lift herself upwards. On the third count, they pushed with all their might. Her toes momentarily left Betty's palm. And she was out. Sort of. Kim bent perpendicularly against the edge. Her arms and torso gripped the ground. Her legs hung down. She kicked against the mud to push herself up, showering dirt on all of their heads. She pulled with her hands and as she wiggled, slowly disappeared out of their view. Then her head popped over the edge, smiling down at them. The six left in the hole cheered. Kim beamed. Find a rope, Katrina screamed upwards. In what universe, Kim said. A branch, maybe? Give me a second, Kim said, as she hobbled out of sight. Hurry, Betty called. It's almost dawn. They stood in the dirt and stared at each other, dumbly. After a moment, Miss De Silva sat back down. I'm sorry about Delia, she said. Tracy turned away from the rest of them. She shook with sobs. What happened to you out there? Miss De Silva asked. Betty sat next to her while Katrina went over to Tracy. Kat and Valerie looked towards the sky in anticipation. I don't know where to start, Betty said. We found the cabin. Upstairs was like a shrine or something. To each girl, Mr. Robertson is sacrificed to the troll. My picture was there. I was next. Oh my God, Miss De Silva said. Yeah, if all of us weren't here, if we hadn't figured it out, she trailed off. You can stop this for good, Miss De Silva said. I hope so. 10 minutes later, Kim lowered a large branch into the hole. It leaned against the side. It didn't quite reach the top. She held another stick in her hands. "When you crawl to the top of this branch, grab the stick," she yelled down. "It's probably better if you run." The five of them looked up at their escape route. "Who's first?" Betty asked. Not much later, they were at the top looking down. The inside of Betty's elbow throbbed in pain. "How are we going to find it?" Kat asked. "I can barely walk," Kim said. Betty looked at the group. Miss De Silva was about to collapse. Valerie looked delirious. "We bring it to us," Betty said. "But I don't hear it," Katrina said. "It can't be far." Betty stared at the ground. The promise of dawn illuminated the dirt, ever so slightly. Betty saw the troll's footprints, 5 giant toes, the heel imprint deep. They were a muddled mess around the hole, then led back in the direction of the cabin. "Look," Betty said. "It head back that way." She pointed off in the distance, then turned to the rest of them. "I'll go. I got you into all of this. I'm going to finish it." The 6 of them stared at her. There was dirt smudged around their mouths, at their hairline, across their chests. One by one, they shook their heads. "No fucking way," Katrina said. "We all had that nightmare," Valerie added. "We're all going to finish it." Betty took a deep breath. Tears stung her eyes. "Then let's go," she said. She walked to Kim and placed her arm around her. Katrina took the other side. Kim put her weight against them. Then they took off running. Betty screamed towards the sky. The others joined. They clapped and yelped and howled as they ran. Their last layer of energy peeled away as they ran deeper into the woods. Then they heard it. In the distance to their left, a shriek tore the sky. They felt the booms in their bones. They turned towards the sound, screaming back. The troll traveled fast. In the distance, they saw the tops of trees rustle and bend, funneling towards them. "Hide!" Betty cried. The girls scattered and disappeared behind the trees. Katrina stayed with Betty. They leaned against a thick trunk, its deep hole just above their heads. "Here goes nothing," Betty said. She reached into her pants. "This is insane," Katrina said. The booms came even closer, shaking the ground. The shrieks became low, angry growls. Betty felt inside of her and pulled out her tampon. She squeezed it with her right hand. Blood bubbled between her fingers. She rubbed her hands together, covering both with blood. She tied the tampon string around her left middle finger. "What if this doesn't work?" Katrina said, panic in her voice. Betty smiled at her, then peered around the trunk. The troll burst through 2 trees, ripping them from the ground. It stood still, smelling the air. Betty was about to take off when Katrina grabbed her upper arm. "Don't," she cried. "I'll be right back," she said. "I promise." And she ran. It screamed when it saw her. Betty zipped towards its calf, bulbous with burls. She didn't look up, at its head like the moon, glaring down at her. She swiped its leg with her right hand, leaving a small trace of blood. Its skin felt like grass. She kept running, moving behind it. It swiped down, missing her, but its finger banged against her back and she went flying. Pain exploded in her hip and she rolled. She scrambled behind a tree and crouched there, catching her breath. The monster moved its face close to the ground, directly behind her, white eyes either side of the trunk. Betty didn't breathe. "Hey!" she heard Katrina yell behind her. The troll turned away. It shrieked in anger as it pounded towards her. Betty ran towards a pile of logs leaning against a large rock, like a cage. She took cover there, nursing more blood with her hands. She peered over a log and saw the troll crouching down to grab Katrina, who ran. "Hey!" Kat stepped out from behind a tree and waved upwards. "Hey!" Tracy did the same. The troll looked around, momentarily confused. Then the white orbs of its eyes narrowed and it swiped at the ground. The girls scattered. "Hey!" Valerie stepped out behind it and it spun, losing its balance and crashing towards the ground. The jolt was an earthquake that threw everyone down. Betty took that moment to run towards its head as the others rolled to new hiding places. She ran with her hands out, caked in dark blood. She swiped its nose, which crinkled like old leaves. Enraged, the troll bit at her and she jumped away from its teeth, brown and thick as tree stumps. It shrieked as it pulled itself up into its hands and knees. Betty ran back to the logs. She leaned against one as her whole body throbbed in pain. The troll started knocking the trees down around it, a tornado of a tantrum. She turned and saw Katrina standing in front of a cluster of trees that bent to the side like cooked spaghetti. She was frozen. The trees exploded open and the troll loomed behind it like a mountain. It screamed down at Katrina, who started to run. Betty panicked. She took off from the cage of logs and sprinted towards Katrina. The troll's hand swooped down, and just as Betty pushed Katrina from its path, it trapped her. And she was in the air. Her legs dangled, helpless as a baby bird. The troll brought Betty to its open mouth. She saw the darkness of its throat, and she was suddenly filled with a memory of her mother. She used to call Betty her little raven because of her hair, in the times before Betty was trouble, when her mother would sometimes hug her for no reason at all. Betty threw the blood-soaked cotton into the widening gaw of the troll's mouth. It slammed closed around it, and its nostrils widened. The white orbs of its eyes flickered then, as Betty stared into them. A black dot swirled into a larger pool. They were pupils. Betty felt its grip loosen around her as the troll fell to its knees. It roared as it retched and twitched. Betty held onto its hand as it swung shakily in each direction. Her fingers sunk into its muck. A violent twitch flung Betty to the ground. Her fingertips left muddy tracks in the troll's skin. She scrambled away towards the others, who stood several feet away, frozen and looking up. Betty felt a sting on her forehead. Blood coagulated with her hair. Katrina held her. The troll was on its hands and knees. It shivered as it shed. Clumps of green, thick with roots, fell around it. Scales of bark and tangles of branches slid off its back, its arms, its face. Betty saw a patch of pink on its shoulder, a whisper of white skin. It clawed at its face with shrinking fingers as it tried to shriek, sounding more like a honk. It retreated into the trees. Leaves parted for it and knitted back together. Miss De Silva took a step forward first. They hesitated, then followed. They heard thrashing, then silence. Betty and Katrina looked at each other. Kat moved closer to the branches that enclosed the troll. Tracy put her arm out to stop her. Then they heard a scream. The scream of a girl. The seven of them froze. The sky was a deep pink, almost red, when a young girl, not much older than Betty, stepped out between the branches. If she had screamed a moment ago, you wouldn't know it now. She was naked, covered in mud and leaves and scratches. Her hair was long and light brown, tangled with dirt towards the ends. "Hi," Betty said. "Is it you?" Tracy whispered. The girl didn't answer, but she stepped towards them. The seven of them held hands and spread into a ring. Betty held her hand out at its opening, an invitation. The girl hesitated, then took her hand, closing the circle. They stood together, the dirty, the injured, the weak, the triumphant, under the rising sun. The smoke from the burning cabin billowed behind them. And that's the end. Thank you so much for listening to season one of We're Not Safe Here, The Outcast. Stay tuned next week for a special bonus Cliff Notes episode. You can email me if you have any questions or theories at wearenotsafeherepod@gmail.com. Or you can message me on any of the social medias, We Are Not Safe Here on Facebook and Instagram, or We Are Not Safe Pod on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this story, please rate, review, and subscribe. And please tell your friends about it. Thank you so much. We are not safe here.